Tuesday. Today is June the 17th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, poison hemlock making the news for livestock producers. Poison hemlock is poisonous both to animals and humans, and we do need to be aware of the plant, its negative effects on livestock, as well as different methods to control it. That's what we're going to talk about after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at livestock news this morning, as the name implies, poison hemlock is toxic to both animals and humans. The plant can pretty much grow anywhere, but it's often found in pastures, hayfields, and especially areas that tend to be damp or unkept. I actually saw some the other day driving along the interstate around one of the exits by Findlay, and actually when I was just up into Michigan, again in the median and along some of the roadways as well. So how much livestock would have to eat to kill them is not exactly clear right now, but there are different control methods which can be utilized in pastures and hayfields, according to extension specialists. Now, back in February of 24, an article, Be Aware of Poison Hemlock Dangers to Livestock by the University of Kentucky, said that people are usually poisoned when they eat the plant, mistaking it for wild parsley, wild carrots, or wild Ansel. Cattle will seldom eat poison hemlock, but if there's no other forage available, or if it's in the hay or silage, that's when it becomes a problem. The plants are often seen, as I mentioned, along roadways or abandoned lots and even fence rows. And in recent years, the plants have expanded into grazed pasture lands and even some hay fields. Poison hemlock is classified as a biennial that reproduces only by seed. It is capable, however, of completing its life cycle as a winter annual down in Kentucky if it germinates in the fall. Now, that's not the case necessarily here in Ohio or up in Michigan. A common question, though, is how much cattle would need to eat for it to kill them. This obviously is not clear. There's a lot of different considerations that go into the toxic content of the plant, depending on the grow stage, the season, the moisture, the temperature, the time of day, even the geographic region. Now, the plant's poison has two major effects on animals. One would be rapid, sometimes fatal effects on the nervous system. The other would be birth defects in the offspring. Cattle have died by eating as little as 0.2 to 0.5% of their body weight in green hemlock. Symptoms of poisoning can occur within 30 minutes to 2 hours of ingestion, depending on the animal, the quantity that they ate, and some other ecological factors. Signs of the acute poisoning would include nervousness, trembling, muscle weakness, incoordination, salivation, and even slobbering. And although acute diseases is primarily a concern, an equally serious problem would be subacute intoxication of pregnant livestock, which could then cause deformed bones or joints in calves or pigs. Now, for this to happen, the animals must eat the plant for an extended period during the first trimester of pregnancy. The susceptible stage of gestation for maternal exposure for cattle is from 50 to 75 days for the skeletal defects to occur, such as crooked legs or deformed neck and spine. Public health concerns when dealing with poisoned animals because of the possibility of the alkaloid residues in the meat are also present. The elimination of plant toxicants through the milk is a minor route of excretion, but may be important when consumed by a calf or humans. Now, according to an article, haying and grazing livestock areas with hemlock from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, there are two ways to control the deadly plants. Producers can either control the weeds by physical removal or chemical methods. Now, physical removal of plants can be effective if it's a steady effort that's applied over time. Personal protective equipment, though, should be used, as hemlock is poisonous for humans through skin contact as well as ingestion. For large infestations, it's suggested that chemical control would be used with a broadleaf herbicide. 2,4-D plus dicamba would be a good example, and spraying in the spring and fall are the most effective application times. Since water hemlock grows near water sources, herbicides will need to be labeled for use in water areas that should be done with caution, so you need to make sure you read and follow the label. Stay tuned, we'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at CropCoverage.com.
Thanks, Joel. Continuing to talk about livestock and the USDA payments, payments have been sent or are being sent to livestock producers under a USDA emergency assistance program with schedules for similar aid that is available. Rod Bain tells us more.
This to livestock producers eligible for emergency payments as qualified under USDA's Emergency Livestock Relief Program.
If you qualify for the loss, you should be receiving a payment in the mail if you've not received it already.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Bill Beam says the payments released May 30th cover grazing losses due to eligible drought or wildfire events in 2023 and or 2024.
Farm Service Agency is issuing emergency relief payments to ranchers who have approved applications through the Livestock Forage Disaster Program for grazing losses due to eligible drought or wildfire.
The administrator notes the connection. The administrator notes the connection of LFP enrollment to ELRP payments.
ELRP payments will be equal to eligible livestock producers' gross LFP calculated payment for the calendar year multiplied by an ELRP 2023 or 2024 payment factor to determine the gross ELRP payments for 2023 or 2024.
And use of existing LFP data to both streamline payment calculations as well as expedite payments.
ELRP payment eligibility requires livestock producers to have suffered grazing losses or drought for either 2023 or 2024, or eligible for both years, and have applied and been approved for LFP. Producers who permitted grazing on federally managed lands was reduced by wildfire are also eligible for ELRP if they applied and were approved for LFP in 2023 or 2024, or both calendar years again.
Further Supplemental Disaster Assistance Program information on payments and timelines, including Emergency Livestock Relief Program payments for flooding, are found online at www.fsa.usda.gov. Click the Resources tab on the homepage, then select the Disaster Recovery link. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.